Well, tonight's lesson is Israel in the last days. Israel in the last days. In this lesson, you will learn about God's covenant with Abraham, his promise to make him a great nation and to give him a specific land. God still has a plan for the Jewish people. And we're going to kind of go through this outline, and then I'm going to expound on one part of this outline. God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. So I'm going to read that for you from the NIV. The Lord had said to Abraham, Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It's interesting. Why the land of Israel is in the news constantly. You can read this in Genesis 17, verses 1 through 8. Verse 8, also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. There are people who have contention with Genesis 17. They do not want Jewish people in the land of Israel, and they want to wipe them off the face of the earth. But Israel is special to God, right? Because at the very beginning, God chose Abraham and said, I will make you into a great nation, that your offspring will be like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Now, the Jews rejected Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew 23. Verses 37 through 39. Matthew 23, 37 through 39. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus laments or sorrows in his heart because the Jewish leaders and the people in Jerusalem did not see who he was, did not receive him, and did not rise up on the day of their visitation. In Luke 21, verses 20 through 24, we read that Jesus told about the destruction of Jerusalem and how it would relate to the times we are living in now. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. But the good news is this, is that God still has a plan for the Jewish people. Romans chapters 9 through 11. Romans 9, 1 through 9, Paul told how the Jewish people rejected Jesus, yet they are children of the promise and counted as the seed. Brethren, my heart's desire, Romans 10, 1, and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Romans 11, I'll turn there real quick. Romans 11, verses 1 through 28, we'll concentrate on one verse. Romans 11, we can go to verse 26, and it says, and so all Israel will be saved as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will turn godlessness away from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account, but as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. So what do we see from this lesson, from this message? We see that Israel is special to God, right? Think about it. You might be thinking today, well, why is Israel so special to God? Because God chose them thousands of years ago when he spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. You might be thinking, well, I live in the United States. It's so far from Israel. But friends, Israel is very special to God. And what did God say to Abraham? He said, I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. Remember, if you bless Israel, if you bless a Jew, you are blessing the heart of God. For as much as you do it for them, you are doing it for God himself. Amen? Let's expound a little tonight on Genesis chapter 12. As I was briefly studying today, this is one of the scriptures I wanted to kind of concentrate on a little bit. Genesis 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. What does this sound like to you? To me, it sounds like the spiritual principle of sowing and reaping. Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. The principle of seed time and harvest. If you sow blessing into the life of Israel, into the life of a Jew, you will reap a harvest of blessings. But if you sow seeds of curses into Israel, into the life of a Jew, you're not going to reap the blessings of God. And we were talking about it this morning at another group that I go to, that there's people out there that talk against Israel and talk against the Jews, but remember, the Jewish people, Israel, is the apple of God's eyes. I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. Now, as I was studying this today, there was a passage that came to my mind that illustrates Genesis 12:3. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Remember that scripture. Whoever blesses you, I will bless, Israel. And whoever curses you, Israel, I will curse. 1 Kings 17. Now, Elijah was drinking from the Kereth Ravine. And it says that in verse 6, 1 Kings 17:6, the ravens, the birds, brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Now look at this, verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid, verse 13. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. So she went away and did as Elijah had told her, verse 15. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. Let me ask you something, friends. What was Elijah nationality-wise? He was a Jew. He was a Jewish prophet, right? And God sent him to a region outside of Israel, Sidon. It sits right on top of Israel. This woman, this widow woman, was what? Nationality-wise, race-wise. She was a Gentile. So we see Genesis 12:3 illustrated here in 1 Kings 17. This widow woman, this Gentile, did what? She blessed Israel by blessing Elijah, who was a Jew from Israel. And because she blessed Elijah, what did God do for her? He blessed her supernaturally. She sowed the little bit of seed that she had into the life of this Jew called Elijah. And God multiplied it back to her in flour and oil. The Word of God says there was food enough every day for the woman, her family, and Elijah. She sowed some seed, right? And God brought her a harvest back to that seed, right? Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you. This woman sowed some seeds of blessing into Elijah. And what did God do for the woman? He blessed her. Amen? Amen? And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, there may be a Jew out there one day that you encounter. I encourage you to bless that Jew if God tells you to bless that person. Because as you bless them, the Word of God says, God stands true to His Word, He will bless you. Amen? Amen. But let's expand this even further than the Jew. Because most of us here tonight are Gentiles, right? There may be somebody out there most likely a Gentile, that God would have you to bless. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25. What did he say? We can turn there. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verse 40. 25:40. The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. And friends, tonight you may be thinking, well, how can I bless a Jew? How can I bless another Gentile, Jonathan? I'm in such great need myself. But friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that there is someone out there in greater need than you. You see, tonight, most likely, you have a roof over your head when you go to sleep. But as the sister was talking about, Sue, there's somebody out there tonight in greater need than you, maybe sleeping under a bridge. If you meet that person and God tells you to bless them, will you bless them? We can take Genesis 12:3 and apply it to Gentiles as well. As you bless another Gentile, God will bless you. As you bless a Jew, God will bless you. If you don't bless the person God tells you to bless, you may not receive the harvest of God's blessings on your life. As much as you do it for that person, guess who you do it for? You do it for Jesus Christ himself. Why is that? Why is that? Remember when God created man at the beginning of time. He said, let us create man in our image. Male and female created he them. Everybody on the face of this earth, Jew and Gentile, is created in the image of Almighty God. Part of God is on the inside of everybody you encounter. In a spiritual sense, everybody you encounter, Jew or Gentile, is flesh of God's flesh and bone of God's bone in a spiritual sense. They are God's beloved ones. As much as you do it for them, you do it for God. Now, let me ask you this. Imagine this. Imagine there's somebody out there that you really love. Maybe a child. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe a brother, a sister, an uncle, a grandparent. And you're separated from this person, right? You can't get to them. And this person that you love is starving. And a person with groceries walks on by and does nothing about it. What does it do to your heart? It breaks your heart, right? But then another person walks by with groceries and resources and feeds your loved one. What does it do to your heart? It brings joy to you, right? It brings joy on the inside. When they do it for that loved one, it's like they're doing it for you. Well, friends, it's the same way with God. Every single person you encounter is created in his image. This week, you may run across someone in greater need than yourself. You may not have money, but you got two arms. You can give them a hug and say, God loves you. You can give them a kind word, say, I love you and I believe in you. You may have $5 or $10 to your name and they may be starving. Maybe God will tell you to buy them something to eat or something to drink. As you bless that person, guess what? Genesis 12:3. God in return will bless you, because the word of God says in Galatians 6, whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. And friends, tonight you may feel like the widow woman. The widow woman was in great need. She was hopeless. She was getting ready to die. She had nothing to her name except what? A little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. She met somebody who was in greater need physically. Who was that? A Jewish prophet called Elijah. He had nothing physically. He had everything. He had God, but physically, food-wise, he had nothing. So food-wise, he was in greater need than the widow, right? So what did the widow do? She took the little bit of seed that she had. She made some cake for Elijah, sowed that seed into his life, and God supernaturally blessed her. You may feel like the widow woman tonight. Maybe you're hopeless, about to give up on life, feeling as good as dead. But you got a little something in your hands. You got a little bit of seed. God will show you what that seed is. Sow it into the life of somebody in greater need than you. And God says in his word, those that you bless, if you bless them, I will bless you. You know, friends, in order to grow in your walk with Christ, you've got to go from receiving to giving. A two-year-old child does what? A two-year-old child is all about himself, right? Me, 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 right? It's all about his little world, her little world. Always on the taking end, right? Well, as that child grows up, right, it becomes a responsible adult and gives back into society. Maybe gives its taxes into society, right? Gives of its time to an employer. Is giving back to society as a mature adult. It's the same way, friends, in our spiritual walk. There's a lot of people out there that are Christians, but they're baby Christians and remain baby Christians for many years. How do you go from babyhood to adulthood eventually in your Christian walk with God? How do you do it? What's one of the ways to do it? It's to start giving out of yourself. Remember, a child is always taking, taking, taking. An adult is giving. So God wants you to grow in your walk with Him. Amen?
Amen?
What is one of the ways to develop that walk with God, to grow into spiritual adulthood? To start giving back to someone who is in greater need than you and than me. Amen?
Amen?
And pray this week that God shows you that person who is in greater need. Don't just pass them by. Do what the widow woman did. Sow your seed into their lives. Amen? Will you commit to do that this week? Find somebody in greater need than yourself and bless them like the widow did to the Jew Elijah. I'm telling you, friends, if you do it, God will bring a harvest of blessings back to your life. Amen?
Amen.
In my own life last year, it was about September, as a personal story here, there was this elderly woman living on Peoria, kind of downtown Tulsa area, and this organization I was with, we were basically just doing some kind deeds for people in need, and this woman was like 86 or 87 years old, and she had this beat-down house that was really, really old. Part of it was built in the 1800s, she said, and it was needing some paint work on the porch. So myself and a group of others went out there, and we did a kind deed. And we basically scraped down the porch floor, we painted it for her, set her up, and friends, I kid you not, that next week, I've got a business of my own on the side, that next week, God brought back a harvest of blessings into my life. About 25 to 30 times what that job would have been worth if I charged for it. That's amazing, isn't it? If God did it for me, He can do it for you. We sowed a seed of kindness into this woman's life that lives in downtown Tulsa, needy and old. We did it for free, and God blessed us supernaturally. I encourage you to commit to do the same this week and in the weeks to come. Start sowing whatever little seed that you have. And as you sow that seed and God brings you back a harvest, sow a little more the next time, and He'll bring you back a bigger harvest and a little more the next time, to the point where you're overflowing with God's blessings. Are you up for that this week? Find somebody in greater need than you. And again, as I said, I'm just going to repeat it real quick. You may feel like that widow woman. She was in great need. She was about to die. She was giving up on life. You may feel like her tonight, the woman in 1 Kings 17. But don't give up on life. Do what she did. She sowed into the life of someone in greater need than her. And God brought it back. Amen?
Amen.
God loves you so very much. And just to close it off with that scripture again, it's an awesome scripture, Genesis 12, verse 3. Word of God says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And you know what? You may run into a Jew this week. I believe that scripture applies to Jews and also Gentiles now in the New Covenant. You may run across a Jew this week. Bless them with a kind word, with a kind deed, with a kind action, and God will bring it back to you. And most likely, you'll run across Gentiles like us this week in greater need than you. Bless them, and if you bless them, God will bless you. That's one of the ways to grow in your walk with God, is by giving out of yourself and not always receiving. Amen? God is good all the time, right? And all the time, God is good. All right. Well, that's the word of encouragement I wanted to leave you with tonight. Bless the land of Israel. Bless a Jew. And bless a fellow Gentile anytime you have an opportunity to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Right?
Amen. All right.